Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and I have the watch for the next hour. And thank you for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. So today, Aileen's back with us.
Good morning.
I forget why you weren't here last week. I'm sure it was something important, but and all, I know the smoke is bothering you a little bit this morning.
Yep.
We have fire coming out of Southern Oregon. And Frank's way over there. He does not have a mic today, but he's here and making sure we're doing everything right and pointing at us when we're doing things wrong and on. And in his spot, we have a guest today, Lane Rickard.
Richard, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. And we got a lot of questions for you coming up, but we'll get to that. And then Dad, like always, is here with me to keep me out of trouble.
I thought you forgot about me.
No, I was trying to do the nice thing and work all the way around the table and all. So, very important, smoke in the air. It's not from here. It is from Southern Oregon and on. And I do know that it's already starting to affect Aileen. You know, you're already seeing your nose is clogged. But
well, I think what surprised me is seeing how many people didn't know that there was fires in Oregon. I mean, this fire season, and anytime there's a little tiny fire somewhere, I know about it.
Yeah.
Because it freaks me out, you know. Oh, you know, Ico has a fire. Where is it? How big is it? What's going on? You know, I'm texting you or our friends so everybody's aware. And it ends up being like a one-acre fire. But those things can get large. And
well, the car fire started out as a one-acre fire.
Uh-huh.
The first night when we were all getting ready to go to bed, it was like 20 acres or something. Yeah. And then,
well, the funny thing is we tend to learn about the fires from Facebook before it's ever in the news, before it's ever on any of my apps, because I have the Cal Fire app, but they only alert you when the fire's, you know, a certain size. So, you know, Facebook, the Igo Ono Fire Department page, I tend to get most of my fire news from them, because as soon as there's a fire, they're letting you know where it is, what's going on, and how big is it. So, you know, even in Cottonwood, there was a house fire in Cottonwood. Well, I want to know. I live in Cottonwood. You know, how big is it? Is it being controlled? What's going on? Because those things spread so easily. So, you know, there's other ways to get your fire news that's not just the television. So, you know, social media rocks.
I think I use it as kind of my alert, like, oh, there's something going on, and then I look it up on the other places after that, especially when they start talking about when it comes back down, when they're, okay, they're canceling this aircraft or they're canceling that. So then that's usually the alert that, okay, it's good. But Lane, you said you were over by Mary Lake last year. So you were right in the heart of it, really.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought. When I woke up today, that was the first thing on my mind. Oh, no, is there going to be another fire? And it's scary to see the mile and, you know, just encroach on your home half a mile away.
We do our former troop, the Boy Scout troop. We did the was it St. Joseph Cemetery right over there by Mary Lake? And it, everything that wasn't green, that they didn't keep green, you know, green grass and all, is burned all the way around it, you know, all the way out onto the, on Eureka Way and all. So,
you know, one of the worst sights for me when we got to go see the sunset homes that were destroyed, there was a house completely gone and the lawn, just green grass. You could see their political sign standing just fine. And it was so close to, you know, well, it could have been the other side.
Yeah, we've been really watering our property. And I know with the car fire, there was a minute there where my son was concerned. And, you know, my son, he's 12 now. And we had to reiterate with him and with ourselves that it's okay if we lose everything, if we lose our house, if we lose our possessions. I mean, it really is okay. Yeah, it would suck. But we're alive, and that's the more important thing. And I think when all of that happened and we were talking about it as a family, it kind of calmed us down a little bit. Because, well, it is the truth. It's okay if you lose everything.
Well, and as a family, you know, mom and dad live in Anderson, but your mom lives in Fort Lauderdale, basically in Fort Lauderdale. She didn't call during the car fire, but the whole other side, your side of the family, was calling during the Paradise fire because it became national and, you know, world news because people that, you know, lives that were lost and all of that. And we had to tell people, well, the fire 3 weeks ago was on our backyard pretty much. You know, the Paradise fire is 100 miles away from us, but it just...
Okay, you got to laugh at that because everybody thinks California is somehow the small little state. Yeah. You know, the earthquake happened and my mom's calling me. I'm like, Mom, it was hundreds of miles away from here.
Like 800 miles.
Yeah. She does that all the time. I mean, I love her for it. And she's a mother, you know,
like Disney. We tell people, oh yeah, we're going to drive to Disney. And they're like, well, how long does that take? Oh, about 10, 11 hours. What? Well, yeah, you understand California is like the size of New England.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I get a lot of, too, do you see a lot of movie stars? And you got to laugh. Yeah. Sure, on TV, you know.
Yeah.
But when I first got stationed in California, I was super excited. Oh, my God, I'm going to live in California. And then I get to Lemoore, California. And if you don't know where that is, look it up. Cows and more cows. But I had no idea that there was so much agriculture in California. I honestly thought, you know, Hollywood, woo, beaches, yeah. Not cows and, yeah. Oh, look, more cows.
Well, you've been here your whole life then, right, Lane?
Yeah, I grew up in Redding.
And you're part of the tribe?
I'm a part of the Northern Wintu tribe here in California, Native American Indians that are local to Shasta County.
Gotcha. So you have deep roots.
Deep roots in the Redding area.
We've been mom and dad and I moved here in 84, 85. I was in high school. I was in 10th grade. Whatever.
You were 15.
Yeah. I was just starting to drive, you know. Uh-huh. And then someone was smart enough to give me a 69 Mustang that had a souped-up motor in it. And that was the wrong idea for a kid, you know. So I tore that car up pretty good. But, yeah, so Aileen's only been here 4 years, 5 years now, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm from Florida, so, yeah. You know, it's two different worlds. But even in Florida, it's not like I saw famous people either.
And Frank's been here a while, but I was Frank's boss back in the mid-90s, you know, way, way back when we were working at Ben Franklin Crafts in the warehouse there. Yeah, you had just got out. So yeah, you have more roots here than the rest of us. You've been here a while, but
just a tiny bit.
But we, you know, we've been here a long time. We consider ourselves, you know, this is our home.
Absolutely.
You know, we've been here for decades now, and we've seen Redding go through some big transitions, especially when everything started to build on the other side of the mall. Because in high school, I used to go turkey hunting over there where there's a Costco now and, you know, and it's the grocery store over there, Winco or whatever it is. You know, that whole area, all those houses up the hill. I mean, we used to ride our dirt bikes all through that.
So. Yeah, it's not about how long your family has been here. It's about what you contribute to your home.
Exactly.
Makes it your home.
Yeah. And I think as our family, we've contributed a lot, you know, we don't have deep pockets, but, you know, to the community, making sure, you know, we're aware of
getting involved, engaging, absolutely.
Yeah. And then when I was in high school and right after high school, there was a lot of murals went up around town, and I was a part of painting a lot of involved with that. And some of them are down now. The senior center one is down. That was my favorite one. You know, that was a Mount Shasta, and there was a hiker, and then there was a hidden Bigfoot in it, you know. A couple times that one had gotten tagged graffiti, and we went back and, you know, and repainted it. So
that whole building's gone now.
The whole thing's gone now. Yeah. That's kind of over there by the VFW, you know.
But it's very interesting to see, like, how so many individuals have made an impact in our community, and we don't always know who did what. And
So we're going to take our first break real quick, and we will be back in just a minute. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m.
for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Tower of Power. Tower of Power. Live at Wind River Resort and Casino. Infectious, energizing, and inspiring, the most dynamic and distinctive band of survivors in soul music. Their musical roots are always evident, blending soul, funk, jazz, and rock like no other band. Tower of Power, Friday, August 9th at Wind River Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale at windriver.com. Concerts are better at the river.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc. Thank you for coming back. I almost lost my place there where I couldn't remember who I was for a second. So we came back. Lane's here. We didn't chase you off. You know, we didn't scare you away or anything. So thank you for coming today, by the way. I know we have a mutual friend, and he's a good guy. I enjoy having him. We're in classes together at school here at the Chico campus at night. And
okay.
He's one of the – Anthony's one of the He's always got a smile, and he's always saying something nice. You never hear anything negative out of him, you know, and also.
You know, Anthony's a great example of what I want to see the Republican Party become. His ability to help engage, enthuse, and inspire other individuals is truly remarkable.
And he's got his own business. He's got his own thing going on, and we're going through business classes. So he has said he's already kind of beyond a lot of what you know, we're quote-unquote learning in class. I've run nonprofits, successfully ran nonprofits and all for the prior 8 years. So taking the classes for myself is – it's more important for me to get the piece of paper than learning all of it. But I am learning, and I know Anthony is too, because we talk a little bit about it. You can always learn something that you don't know. But he's so far beyond all that. He's so smart too.
I'm very pro education, but it is sometimes disappointing to see that, you know, you talk to students and they say, yeah, I'm really just going to get a piece of paper so I can, you know, start getting a job or the internship I need to start pursuing the career that I want.
And well, and that's the bad. Sorry, Aileen. That's the bad part is when I know someone when we were living over in Humboldt County, he went through HSU, Humboldt State over there. He went through there back then. Everything was still printed, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. And he went through every degree they had, and he picked the degree that has the least physical work, where he can just stay at a desk, and the least amount of what he viewed of difficulty in education. Mm-hmm. And on, I don't want to say what it was, because I don't want to offend those people that are doing those jobs, because I know people that do those jobs and they put their heart and souls into mm-hmm. it. He did it because he felt it was the easiest one, and he was the worst person of that job ever. Yeah, see, I just did it too, ever to do that. And I think that those kind of folks, they're wasting space for other people who do want to go and learn.
Absolutely. Well, it's disappointing that it's manipulating a system where, you know, there might be one hardworking individual who has the experience for whatever job that was,
yeah.
and then to lose that to someone that, you know, has a degree but no experience whatsoever. It's disappointing to see. So I think, you know, we need to look at education through multiple lenses.
Okay, so I have been through several schools. I went through the University of Maryland when I was overseas in Okinawa. I went through two community colleges taking classes at night when I came back to the States. And then when I was ready to take my credits and actually enroll full-time into school, I went to Humboldt State University. And then after I had obtained my degree, I decided I wanted to go take some more classes, and I went to Chico State to take some classes that I wanted. So I've been to a couple places, and what I've learned is that even though you want to be a good student, you don't always get what you want because of the schools themselves. You know, I've been through classes where I thought, wow, this is a joke. You know, all I'm doing is showing up. There's no tests. There's no papers. There's no effort. Why is that? I mean, is it more important to just show up and hear a lecture? Because that's not how a lot of people absorb things. So I can see some people going, you know what? I just want that piece of paper, because if the school doesn't want to invest in me, why should I invest in the school?
I also think on that, especially with that young man, he washed out of that career mm-hmm. in 2 or 3 years. And he's, as far as I know, he's never done it since mm-hmm. then, because if you don't put the effort into learning that job, sooner or later people are going to start catching on. It's like, yeah, we hired you because you've got this degree. You know you're going to start at the lowest level of that, but pretty quickly you're going to wash out because they realize you didn't pay attention. You just seed your way out. As we say in the Navy, you seed your way right out the door and got a piece of paper, you know.
And that degree, I mean, I've worked for the county. I've been an analyst. I've had several, you know, I climbed my way up. That piece of paper did not give me an advantage over anybody else. You know,
I think that's a huge problem with the state of California's curriculum for some degrees. I got a degree in political science, and what I learned working for a state senator is beyond what I could have learned working and getting my degree in political science. A huge part of that political science degree was learning stuff that had nothing to really do with government or politics.
I want to add to that. I, in my past career here in the past few years, for a big chunk of that time, I was kind of running and in the HR department. I was moving around to different offices. I was adjusting them, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, and I became the axe man pretty quickly with that. Well, we took a HR class, you know, for our degree. And Aileen will tell you, I disagreed with most everything that was in the book and that we were learning. It's like, that's not how you would do it in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how you would handle that situation in the real world. So, yeah, getting what we learn in class and what we do in the real world, like you're saying, you learned the same way Anthony's learning to run his business. You learn politics from working in the politics. Then you got your degree in it, and you can say, okay, well, now I know how you're supposed to do it, but this is how we really do it in the real world.
You know, I think a huge problem with the education system for younger students is they'll have to go through their general education system, and it's basically a repeat of what they, you know, have learned through high school, and then they get to go on to their major, and then after they complete their major and get their degree, they have to start doing internships before they can go into the career they want to do. I love the fact that we have a general education system. I think it's very important for adults who, you know, may have had problems had not gone to school for whatever reason, and now they want to go back and further their education. It's great that we have these general education programs for them. However, I think for students that are going through high school, through advanced placement programs, they do get some credits towards advancing in their general education system. However, I personally feel that that is a waste. I think what I learned, you know, working through my general education system process, I think students could immediately just jump straight to what major they're going to. That's something I'd like to look at. You know,
yeah,
let's try and reduce for students who have proven that they can go through the general education system on a high school level, because it almost, you know, verbatim is a repeat of what you learned throughout high school. I think students should be able to have the decision to just immediately jump to what degree they want to focus on. That way, they have more time to do those internships, to get that real life experience, to get their careers quicker.
So Lane, I got something to share. Okay. My son is just finished seventh grade. He's going to eighth grade next year. And for the last, 4 years?
At least 4 years.
Four years. The only homework that comes home is no homework.
Wow.
We were told, you need to read. He needs to read. And our son is an avid reader, has always been. In fact, my son's lowest grade was a B, and it's his worst subject because he hates it. It's P.E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not an athlete. Yeah.
See how Grandpa started laughing before I finished? Yeah. My son hates physical education now. It's just not him.
Uh-huh.
But he has yet to have homework at all.
Wow.
Last 4 years. Now, I'm a little worried about what happens when he goes to high school, because high school is very different. And when I talk to a lot of parents that have kids around, you know, our son's age, you know, they do get homework. And so there's a routine that you get used to when you have homework. You come home, you eat a snack, maybe you have 20, 30 minutes of doing whatever you want, and then you focus on homework. And so I always find it really odd how one school district does things completely different than another school district. And then I wonder about, well, what's the long-term effect of this? Because what's going to happen to our son when he goes to high school?
One thing is his school has a new principal now.
Yes.
And I'm wondering and I'm hoping that new principal kind of reevaluates that. There's a few things that the prior principal did really good. The bullying stuff, I always had questions. She didn't really get on top of that when there was an actual issue. There was an issue with a young man and a young lady. The mom was a friend of ours, and I basically had to hand carry the mom into the principal's office and say, you need to tell her what you just told me.
Wow.
And then the principal still didn't react to it in a way that the parents wanted it. So we took care of that ourselves. We just happened to know the other family, and then some people just started letting them know, your boy needs to back off a little bit.
Well, I went to Shasta High School, and I think locally.
That's where I went. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. And
a
Shasta
few years
County.
Before you.
we have a great school district. I think a problem with public education, however, is that students don't all learn at the same pace, and that's it's a system that we create in the public school education, you know, and that's why I like charter schools or homeschooling as well as an alternative, so they have the options, so they can learn at their own pace, or you know, I think that's something that also needs to really be looked at on our education system.
I like, you know, now that I'm taking upper level classes, I can take some classes online.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about driving all the way to Reading. I don't have to worry about driving all the way out to Shasta College or anything. I can stay home and I can do two or three classes. And then more or less through the week, you can do it on your own time when you've got the time to do that. And when you're a grown adult and you've got property, you've got family, you've got dogs and animals and all, you do kind of have to plug it in where you can.
In terms of the general education system for college, I think online classes is, you know, the future for adults who want to get back into that education system.
A lot of those classes.
It's been a godsend.
English classes. I've written grants. Now I got to go back and take a basic English class. I got to take algebra. Well, I was higher than algebra when I was in high school, you know. So a lot of those, I was thankful. also that I had Aileen around too to kind of push me. Okay, we'll do it online, and you don't have to drive all the way.
Yeah,
you
know, instead of getting compelled to stay for a class for an hour or two, you can learn at your own pace, and that might be significantly quicker since you have experience.
I'll be honest about something too. When you're a little older and you go back to college and you're around 19, 20 year old. It's tough because they have no life experience, and the stuff they talk about is so immature. It's like,
There's a lot of necks I wanted to wring out there, or at least tell them to shut up. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR.
The Cascade Theater presents 4 free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities, and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. 4 films, 4 Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Thank you for coming back to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and thank you for listening to the KCNR 96.5 FM. Well, we got a little off track there. I told you, Lane, before we started, sometimes we get off track and all, but education is really big to us and our families. So, you know, we any support that we, you know, can give, especially, you know, the schools need all the help they can get.
Absolutely.
So I want to open it up to you. I want to give you your time. You know, I told you, you know, we give you time and all, so, you know, the mic is yours.
Great. Well, my name is Lane Rickard. I'm a candidate for California State Assembly District 1. It spans from Wairika all the way down to Grass Valley with parts of Butte and Placer County in it. I'm a local Redding native. My grandfather was a Shasta County Sheriff Deputy and an Anderson Police Officer, and my parents have owned a business here in Redding for about 50 years. It's a local tool and die shop that has really helped contribute to the growth of the Redding community, in my opinion. I was a local Shasta High School student. I played football 4 years at Shasta High, and then I went to Shasta College and got my degree in political science. It was at that point that I started interning at the age of 18 for an individual named Brent Weaver, who ended up being a city council member, and he was the former mayor as well. You know, I'd like to think Brent saw something in me when he asked me to get on board, but I think it was just free labor, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, no, it was through that that I really uncovered my political talents and realized I had a knack at this. And when we were doing stuff for Brent's campaign, really got a lot of people involved and engaged, and that got notice from State Senator Ted Gaines. I was asked to intern, and about a week later I ended up working as a field representative for State Senator Gaines. I did that for about 5 years. I ended up running the Redding District office for the senator, and I really got to witness firsthand the many issues that the constituents face in this district, because my main role was working through Shasta and Siskiyou County, which is a huge chunk of Assembly District 1. And I got to talk with local officials, community leaders, and constituents all around and hear about their problems, and that's what made me develop my platform of public safety, disaster relief, and development.
That's a lot. And I know you're, you know, young. I don't like to put age on anything, but I know you're 24, 25 years old.
24 years old.
So you've done a lot. I mean, it's important, and to kind of go along with the education thing, right after high school, you were doing something. You were going to Shasta College, then you went to work for or interning with the prior mayor, then you're interning with somebody else, and you're leading all the way up to now. You didn't spend a year and a half playing video games and waiting for the world to come to you on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. You pursued where you're at now.
You know, what really got me involved and engaged in the political system here in this community is the Republican Party. A lot of Republican individuals here really inspired me to, you know, try and make progress towards getting more engagement, getting more process. It's disappointing to see my generation, the millennial generation, not as engaged in the political process as some of our older generations. And I see that and I get inspired from that. But it's sad for the most part that when I go to different meetings or meet with officials, the average age group will be anywhere from 40 to 60 years old, and I will be 24. I think there's a disconnect with the Republican Party that, you know, kind of stunts younger generations from getting more involved and engaged. And I think it's incredibly important towards the revitalization of the Republican Party that we start finding new ways towards building younger membership, passing that torch of wisdom down to individuals who can continue the legacy that generations before us have worked so hard to create.
And I think some of that can be done with our education system, because we all learn, absolutely, you know, political science in high school, but how do we instill the importance of being, you know, educated on, you know, political topics and voting and, you know, making sound decisions when, you know, somebody might come from a family that doesn't necessarily vote or doesn't participate in what's going on within their community. So I hate to say it, but we almost have to fall back on the education system to do that.
I think, a huge problem in terms of partisan politics is that Democrats have been able to take advantage of the social connectedness that our generation has and really use and manipulate that towards getting, younger minds influenced towards more liberal ideologies. I think the Republican Party needs to start working towards increasing their social media and their social connectedness towards getting more individuals engaged. We talk about how technology really is the future of progress, and I think that is no different for the Republican Party.
So do you have social media? Do you reach out to people that way?
I do, yes. I have Facebook, Instagram, Lane Rickard. Please go check it out and look at my platforms, my issues, and some of the stuff I've been up to while I'm running for public office.
What sets you apart from the other candidates that are also running?
You know, I'm the only candidate with actual state hand experience. I've gotten to work with local officials, county supervisors, through the capacity of a state employee. And I don't think any other candidate has really had that firsthand experience like I have. I know this job because I've been doing it now for the past 5 years. Senate District 1, when I worked for Senator Ted Gaines, it's one of the largest districts in the state. It's actually bigger than most states. So it was incredibly difficult for our senator to make it to the northern part of our district all the time. And so that responsibility really, you know, lied within my hands. So I have a certain kind of experience that I don't think the other candidates have.
Well, I'm looking at the flyer. You have three of you, Joe Turner, Patrick Jones, and yourself are all meeting Monday night over on Bonneview. I almost said Bowman Road on Bonneville, and a candidate forum. When I look at the pictures, I know Patrick. I've known Patrick. You know, I don't know him personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may recognize my face, but I've known him for many years. He's a business owner and whatnot. I don't know Joe Turner. What do you think, especially with as concerned with Patrick, what do you think you would bring someone who has a vast amount of experience and knows a lot of people in the community?
Well, in terms of state policy, for the past 5 years, that's all I've been doing. I've been researching state policy, and that's really what has helped me cater my platform. I think I have a lot of direct plans and direct solutions towards resolving some of the issues we face directly right here in this community. However, I think one of the biggest things that I can bring is engagement. You know, the Republican legislature has 19 legislatures. 61 are Democrats. We need to start working towards developing new strategies and measures within the Republican Party so we can start rebuilding it. I don't think it's a crazy idea to say, let's get to 30 Republican legislators. That way we can at least start fighting some of these ridiculous tax bills that are coming through Sacramento. Just this session, there was 365 tax bills that went through the legislature. Half of those were tax hikes, tax increases. And the Republican Party isn't able to stop it in any way, because we're currently in a super minority that prevents us from being able to vote against those bills. I think compromise is the key to a successful society, and what we're seeing in the state of California is a one-party state encompassing the state of California.
So what you're saying is even if all 19 Republicans were on the same page and voted the same, you're still going to lose.
That's correct.
There's no way for you to win unless you won over half of the other side of the aisle.
You have to directly work across the aisle in order to find solutions towards issues. And one thing that Republicans will never see eye to eye with Democrats, in my opinion, are tax increases.
And a few other things, but we'll save the other
yes.
things for other shows right now. But I totally agree that, you know, like I said, I've known Patrick for a while. I'm getting to know you. I've met you a couple times now, and what I like to see is there's five candidates running.
Yep.
Five candidates, I think, that are real names. Brian's wife is one of them.
Maiden.
Yes, and I don't know if I know the other lady on there, Elizabeth. Am I saying that right, Betancourt?
She is a Democrat who I believe has had experience working on a water board down in Cottonwood, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
So you guys can go and see three out of the five candidates on Monday at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneville Road. So the public is welcome to go. Again, it's this Monday, the 29th at 6 p.m., and it's at 2570 South Bonneville Road. I encourage everybody to go and meet Lane and the other candidates. And, you know, this is your opportunity to be heard and to hear what they have to say.
Yes, I mean, that's what these public forums are for. And is there time limits on what people asking you guys thing? Is it, you know, like a city council meeting where you only get 3-minute cards and all
so
that.
I believe it's going to be a debate type format.
Oh, it's
so
debate. Okay.
There will be selected questions, but sometimes they will allow community questions to be asked after they're vetted through the moderator.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, because you want to make sure, like Jared does for us on the phones in there, we make sure who's coming through the
phone. We want to make sure that the questions being asked are involving, you know, the role of a state assembly
person. And valid to the conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I can't help you if somebody, your neighbor's got a pod thing in front of his house for six mm-hmm. months. Go to the city and ask him mm-hmm. about that. Well, we're going to take our last commercial break real quick. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they also come to those who don't. Download our app, order ahead, and skip the line. Cut to the Chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Looking for a team building exercise? Order Jersey Mike's delivery from Uber Eats. Then share. Collaboration by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends. Place piled high with happiness. Black bear time, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to. Hey, hey, Black Bear feels like home.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. Thank you for coming back to KCNR 96.5 FM. Well, we still have Lane here. He hasn't run away yet. Maybe this last segment, we might chase him off. But obviously, you know, you're on a show that is veteran-centric.
Yes.
Well, all four of us in the room are veterans. The owner of the station is a veteran. A lot of our friends are. We've already talked about the VFW and all that. The first time I met you out at the park, one of the things that we talked real briefly about, because you were really busy, was what support you can give for our local veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand enough of the politics to know that there's a separation between the federal
yes.
level and where you will be working. So I'm not asking, you know, anything like that. But locally, what do you think you can bring to us to help out some of our local vets?
One thing I love about Shasta County is the community that it has, and that community honors our veterans. Here in Shasta County, we love our vets. And a problem is I don't think on a federal level they're getting the resources that they need. And you can talk to Congressman LaMalfa about this. He's very passionate about helping veterans on a federal level, making sure that they get the best health resources available to them. On a state level for veterans, we can do a lot of different things. For example, helping them with their education system throughout the state of California, incentives towards getting them into college so they can further their careers after, you know, stepping out of military service, really putting, you know, community support behind veterans whenever we can. One thing I noticed when I was working for Senator Gaines was there's an issue with the California Guard here in California, and I think that's a, you know, what was happening was California was not giving California Guard members the contract bonuses that they were promised. And they were going back on their deal. So one thing I would like to do within the state assembly is always ensure that on a state level, our Guard is getting the proper support that they need. But also we need to always make sure that we defend our veteran rights.
Yes, and one of the topics that I've talked a lot about is the new VA clinic.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're opening a new one. I look forward to having a new facility. One of my biggest pet peeves, and I know it's very minimal, but the parking over at the facility right now is just horrible.
Well, it should be bigger, too. But, you know, Congressman LaMalfa and his staff fought hand and foot for...
And I've met with them, you know, and I've known Doug for a uh-huh. while, especially when I was working down in Chico and all. But my thing is if your clinic right now isn't being ran administratively correctly,
yeah.
you're going to be moving the same administration to the new facility. So as Dad says, you're just going to have a shiny rock over there. You know, we can polish it all we want, but if the administration is still the same one that no one wants to work for,
mm-hmm.
the doctors that are leaving there are not leaving because the facility isn't up to date. They can say what they want, but when Aileen and I have actually spoken to people that have left that facility, from doctors down to nurses mm-hmm. and down to just people, you know, that have different jobs there, it's the administration that they have issues with. The doctors, definitely, two doctors that we know personally have left there because of the lack of support from the administration.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have a shiny new toy across town, you're going to get new doctors in because they want the new shiny toy as mm-hmm. well. But if the administration is still poor and they're still not treating those people with the respect and dignity that they can pass on to their clients or patients, they're going
to
leave.
It shouldn't take months to, you know, get a veteran the proper health care that they deserve. And to my research from, you know, this was previous years ago doing research on the veteran hospital here in Redding, it saw more traffic than any other veteran hospital in California.
Yes.
And that's competing against Los Angeles. We
yes.
need more funding for this specific veteran hospital with the traffic that we're seeing. Absolutely.
And thankfully, you know, $45 million, $50 million building that we're building uh-huh. out there, it's going to be great. And me working in – well, Aileen and I both working in different hospitals, some old ones that needed to just be burned down, and then some new ones, you know, we are for, you know, that progression and being able to service us. I won't have to go all the way to Sacramento
yes.
to get a hearing test every other year and stuff. So,
you know, it's a great first step, but we'll always have yeah. to continue fighting for veteran rights.
Yes.
Well, there's a shortage of providers everywhere.
Yes.
You know, you told me, David, a while ago there was legislation that there was two senators trying to push it, and that was for medical school to be free.
Yes, I don't remember the details anymore, mm-hmm. but that was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, clearly it hasn't gone anywhere, mm-hmm. but it seems to me a little outrageous, you know, $200,000 per year to go through medical school, and then the expectation is that you go serve these underserved communities and somehow still be able to pay your medical school bills.
In such a competitive market, yes. you know, a lot of the times the people that do complete their degrees will want to go somewhere in a private sector where
exactly.
they can, you know, make
yes.
more money to pay off those bills.
Well, Tehama County hasn't been able to hire a psychiatrist in years. Well, neither has Shasta County or Humboldt County because they can't offer competitive wages. So how do you serve the people that are in most need when you can't attract the talent? And because that talent has to pay for those medical school bills. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I know I'm going off topic, but, you know, that's something I would like to see a legislature, you know, acknowledge that there's a need there for medical providers. And what can, you know, the Republican Party do to ease that?
Well, you know, back to the building, we've already been through this once over in Humboldt County. We went from a really poor, small clinic to the new shiny clinic. And yeah, it was great. I was there. I actually got honored at that opening, and I didn't know I was being honored to that. I got this wonderful flag and on and on and on and on. I could have done without it. Aileen will know I don't want to be up there doing that. Mm-hmm. But the facility was great. It was all new, all the new shiny widgets and everything. 2 years later, it was just as bad as the old place because it took the same administration and the same lady who worked at the front desk that all of the vets complained about all the time. They just moved them into the new building. So after the shininess started wearing off, and that's my concern here, is we're still going to run right back into the same problem. So hopefully when all that moves over, there can be some actual changes, you know, some new butts and seats, as we, you know, the military likes to say.
I think at the end of the day, the main and only concern is that veterans are getting the you know, proper rights that they deserve.
So the tag on to all that, our other big thing is public safety.
Absolutely. It's one of my platform issues as well.
And I would go at it. I want to hear it. Hit me with it.
Well, you know, a big problem in this district, and particularly here in Reading, is that we experience crime rates that are sometimes double or even triple the national averages. Statistically speaking, you're more likely to experience crime right here in Reading than in Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles. That is completely unacceptable. We need, the California legislators need to start recognizing areas of crime within our state and improve funding to those areas to make sure that those communities are safe once again. A big problem with that, in my opinion, is the recent, or not recent now, but the legislation AB 109 is a prison realignment bill that has deeply affected our community. There's funding that goes from AB 109, but clearly with our crime rates, it's simply not enough. We need more mandatory spending from AB 109 to be put into increasing our police force and into improving jail space and other opportunities towards reducing crime. Homelessness here in the Reading area, of course, is also a dire concern to all. I know it's not the end-all, be-all solution, but we need to start taking steps towards combating homelessness. And one thing I think we can do on a state level is re-implement state mental health programs that would allow individuals who are suffering from a mental illness or a substance abuse to get, you know, the proper care that they need so they can get rehabilitated and brought back into society as proud and productive members of it.
Now, I know you don't, and your the office you're running for does not cover Tehama County, but Aileen and I live in Tehama County, and that is a law enforcement is underserved there.
Yes.
We just found out recently with some changes, and the sheriff does the best he can with what he has, and I think he honestly is doing the best he can, but in the entire county, their maximum is 3 deputy sheriffs on call at any one time. Mm-hmm. Well, Tehama County is just like Shasta County. It's a big county. And if you've got an issue that you need 2 deputies in one area, you know, all the way down in Las Molinas, well, what happens to Lake California and Bowman Road?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're lost, you know, in that. And that's unfortunate because there's a lot of stuff that goes on they just can't keep up with.
You know, California is privileged to have one of the largest economies in the nation. The problem is we're just spending that money in the wrong places. Instead of working towards increasing public safety, we're trying to develop a high-speed rail that's already gone, you know, 10 times over the budget they first anticipated, and it's gone absolutely nowhere. We need to start using money like that towards increasing, you know, public safety, towards implementing disaster relief programs, towards, you know, fixing our aging roadways or updating our bridges. I think we really need to start looking at our budget and balancing it better. And I think at the end of the day, that is one thing that all legislators can agree upon. No one wants to have a, you know, a public safety issue. No one wants disaster to destroy their homes. Everyone wants to improve base infrastructures. It's just a matter of how we go about doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're never going to eliminate crime. We're never going to eliminate homelessness completely, but we can get to points where we can manage it better and be, as a society, helping people that need
in our
help.
District. Let's just reduce it back down to state levels. We have crime rates that were dangerously high here. I mean, even a few years ago, California was Redding was ranked one of the worst places to live because its crime rates were so high. And I think that's a problem we saw directly because of California's mismanagement in terms of policy. AB 109, the prison realignment bill, basically brought individuals to this community that weren't from here. And when they would get out of jail, what would happen is they would steal a car and try and drive back on the I-5 to wherever they were initially from. And for a while, we had one of the largest auto theft rates in the country because individuals would just, And so the city has worked very hard to try and resolve that problem. We have, busing transportation services now, and, there's local organizations that offer with helping get, individuals get back to where they were initially from.
Well, we are just about done. I want to thank Lane for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to try my best and come Monday night.
I appreciate
it. And show my support wherever I can. Thank everybody for listening to Manning the Watch. And thanks for everybody for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM. You have the watch.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.